This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
It's Free Talk Live, and we're at Anarchapulco 2017 for day number four of what has been a fantastic weekend plus. I mean, this event actually started officially on Saturday, so an unusually late start for an event like this, but it doesn't seem to have hurt the event at all. There have been a lot of people here, hundreds, I would say, on the, like, probably more than 300, 400, somewhere in that range would be my guess. We haven't talked to the organizers to get any kind of final numbers or anything like that, but
Who knows if they have them?
This is the officially final day of Anarchapulco, but it's not over from here. After this, they're going to have seminars starting on Wednesday. I believe Dana Martin, who we're still trying to get on here for a possible interview, is going to be doing like an unschooling seminar. Adam Kokesh is going to be doing something about homesteading. So there's lots more that you can attend if you're down here in Anarchapulco for Anarchapulco. It's a great event so far. And Pete Ayer, former co-host on Free Talk Live and founder of Cop Block, is with us here today to kick things off. Hey, Pete.
Hey, how you doing, Ev?
It's always good to see you. We had Amanda on yesterday. Of course, we talked Dash with her, and you're helping with the Dash thing. It's kind of, you guys are working as partners on that project.
Yeah, that's right. Amanda's sort of the face of Dash Detailed, and I'm behind the scenes.
Understandably, I mean,
I know.
Not to say you're a handsome man. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but
it's not going to do it. Not compared.
Not going to be. Not going to get the same amount of views. Just let's be realistic. Yeah. You're not here to talk about Dash. At least you've got a presentation coming up later on today, and you just kind of gave me a little teaser of what that was off the air. What are you going to be talking about?
Right. So the title of my speech is called "From Skinhead to Cop Blocker: How Ideas Change My Perception." And so essentially, I just kind of am going to share a bit of my backstory and then talk about how different when I was. Entertain different ideas, expose to different ideas, how that caused me to change my thought process, my perception of the world, how I treated people. And
were you a skinhead? That's something I didn't know about you. I know you were training to be a cop at one point when you shifted your direction in life.
Yeah, I mean, this was in high school. I was just sort of like, I had bought in a lot of divisive messages and us versus them, and I started out sort of like based on melanin in one's skin, and then after that it sort of shifted to a more palatable divisive perception, which was nationalism. I thought, like, USA, like, we're the best. My first tattoo was a USSA flag that said "Love it or leave it," and so it's just from there, like, how I progressed. That's what I plan to talk about.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be a fantastic story. And of course, we know some of it because we've been pretty close to you over many years when you've been living in New Hampshire. So,
come across each one of these ideas?
Yeah, I was going to say, what broke the first, I guess, barrier for you way back when?
I think the race, what do you mean, from like between racism and nationalism? I don't think there was any like one key thing. I just started seeing like cracks in the facade, and like I had, I would like have these perceptions of like this group of people is, such and such a way, and then but it didn't mesh with what I knew in my day-to-day reality.
Because interacting with the individuals?
Exactly, yeah. And I never felt, like, more threatened or less threatened from certain people, like, groups, per se. And I just, I just sort of bought into this divisive, and I felt like, it was more like a predatory kind of thing. Like, I was able to sort of look down on folks, and I guess
so. Just over time, that kind of wore off.
Yeah, just sort of that definitely wore off. And with the race sort of based issue, that the pendulum swung back the other way. In undergrad, I became involved with like this ethnic studies student organization. I had a double major in that, in addition to law enforcement. And so I was like out protesting the use of like Native American mascots. And at one time, I was like, I put together a presentation with a professor when I was in grad school about that we gave to students who were going to be teachers in the future. Like, here's some signs you should look for in your students of if they're like involved with race-based gangs and things like that. And so now I see, I found a better middle ground. I found myself in these classes, in ethnic studies classes, like saying, who really cares about this issue of race? It's this regime that's like tries to keep us divided, and if they've used this thing, this arbitrary characteristic of race or color to like cage, you know, 110,000 folks back in the early 40s here in the States, like the Japanese Americans, and that was taken directly from the census, you know, how they located folks and things.
And you were learning about that at the same time as you were studying to be a police officer?
Yeah, uh-huh. So I very much like undid my previous race oriented perception of things, but I was still very much like thought USSA is number one. I painted my car. I had a two-door car. I painted it red, white, and blue camo. I had big American flag stickers on it.
That would be so funny to see a picture of that now.
I know, right?
See you standing next to it.
When you say USSA, what do you mean?
Oh, I just, it's a kind of just a reference to the collectivist, just for people not to think of the USA as the land of the free, but to kind of take some of the attributes they may ascribe to the USSR and see that it's not so different here or in the USSA.
What? It can't happen here. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. I've talked to more than one person who sort of grew up in a communist country and came here and said that it looks like some of the things that happened where I was are happening here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that, at this point we're not sending millions to die in a gulag, but nonetheless, these are the things that are said by other people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they may not be dying in the gulag, but we certainly, the government is sending millions of people to jail.
Right.
And they're arresting, in the drug war, over 1.5 million people every single year in the United States. And I think about half of those are just for marijuana-related so-called crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're being forced to work, a lot of them, and forced labor. I mean, so really the difference is probably only in degrees.
Right, definitely.
All right, so where do we go from here? Pete, you were, you got away from the race-based mentality. You went into nationalism. You had a car painted red, white, blue, and camo.
Yeah, I think efficiency arguments initially attracted me. I took issue with the war on drugs. I saw, like, hey, this seems like a misallocation of resources. When I was in undergrad, I did an internship with St. Paul Police, and I was involved in some of these, like, hey, they went out and kidnapped and caged a dozen people, and then within a couple hours, everyone's back out. And I remember asking some of these folks that I was working with, hey, what do you think about this? This doesn't really seem to make sense. And their response was just, well, you can't really think about it that way. And I started seeing issues with the war on drugs, at first with the efficiency, misallocation of resources, and then later, like, how it tore apart families, how there was no victim. And then it was just taking that idea and applying it to every other aspect, and especially what was helpful for me was my involvement with a college libertarian group in grad school. And that's not like a big L party political group. It was we just had ideas and conversations, and it was so stimulating for me. I called it mind sex because, you know, I just heard things that I never had heard before, and I was so very receptive. So that was really informative for me to move past some of those previously divisive views I had. And I think, you know, it made me go from someone who was, like I said before, more like predatory in nature to some people, and certainly not respectful of property. I like did stupid things, and to someone who I think now I very much think each of us owns themselves, and I certainly don't want to aggress on anybody and things like that.
No doubt about it. When did things, I guess, change for you? You sound like you're turning against the war on drugs during undergrad, which means you're real close to, you know, getting criminal justice major or
law enforcement. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that when did something changed in there, right? So like you decided to not to follow that path. I know at some
point. Did you apply or what?
Yeah, I did apply. So I went to grad school, like I said, and then afterwards I had.
So you graduated. You got the degree.
Yeah. So I did my my thesis and things, and I had applied at Seattle NYPD and LAPD, and I had gone for testing, follow-up testing in LA, and I wasn't completely honest in the polygraph section about drug use, and they were like, hey, what's up with this area here? And I was like, yeah, I did some hallucinogens in high school.
Ooh.
And they're like, well, that we wish we would have told us, so it's kind of questionable. And I was like, hey, it's cool. So then they said, you know, we don't really want to. It's questionable. And I said, all right. So then I withdrew my applications from the other places. And I was like, and it really wasn't like a heartbreaking thing. I didn't grow up wanting to be a police employee at the time. I just thought, hey, I'll work my way up and try to change policies and
change it from the inside.
Exactly, yeah. but then I figured, so anyway, then I had a job lined up in the private sector that was like surveillance and whatever. And But then I got an email back from the Cato Institute, a libertarian think tank in D.C., that I was accepted as an intern, and that really was an eye-opening experience for me. I spent the next 5 years in the D.C. think tank world.
Hold that thought. We're going to continue with Pete Eyre from Anarchapulco 2017 with Free Talk Live, brought to you by Bitcoin.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-960-3494. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-960-3494. Call 1-800-960-3494. 1-800-960-3494.
Attention, small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. Research thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. We're at Anarchapulco 2017. Lots of great people to talk to, some old friends of the show, former co-hosts, and also some brand new faces. You can go to anarchapulco.com to learn more about the event. It's Ian and Mark here. It's all brought to you by Bitcoin.com. And Pete Ayer is with us, founder of CopBlock.org. You're going to be giving a like a personal experience today, kind of like your personal evolution to where you are from where you came from, which, as you explained to us in the last segment, was like you described it as skinhead, somebody who was focused on color of skin and, you know, believing that there are differences between groups of people rather than looking at the individual. And that started to change for you in your late teenage years as you were going through into college. You started to learn about the war on drugs. You were on a trajectory towards possibly being a police officer, criminal justice major, and you just kind of came across some information that that changed how you thought about things.
Yeah, certainly. I was one of the key resources with the drug policy issue for me. I had a book, or I had a class called Law and Chemical Dependency, and we were assigned a book called Why Our Drug Laws Have Failed and What We Can Do About Them by James P. Gray.
Y'all may
Why
know
are
him.
They what? Why Our
the
Drug
judge?
Laws Have Failed
okay.
and What We Can Do About Them.
Yeah, yes. Judge, right?
Yep, out in Orange County. And at the time, it was a pretty put together, well thought out to me. And I said, hey, you know, this makes a lot of sense. I've since, the views that the judge in the book puts forth are, I would go further than those
sure.
in a lot of ways, but certainly for
it's
me,
convincing to you.
Yeah, at the time it was a good resource to read. And, so anyway, fast forward, a couple years when I was out of school, I had been fortunate to be sort of brought into this hotbed of ideas, of the marketplace of ideas.
You said Cato had given you an internship.
Yeah.
How did you end up applying for that in the first place?
Well, I had definitely been much more libertarian oriented in college, and I'd been pretty active with a number of groups, and I just was familiar with these resources and organizations and knew that they did such programs. And so at Cato, they have 3 intern classes a year, the spring, summer, and fall. And the summer is obviously the most competitive.
Yeah.
But I was finishing up my grad degree a semester early, so I was able to get in the spring.
Mm.
And I felt pretty fortunate because there was a lot of, folks there from big name schools and who knew. I remember one guy asked me, said something to me, and I was like, what does that word mean? I don't even know, And so it's definitely a learning experience, but I would credit my time in D.C. for influencing me mostly with economics, my exposure to economics. For years, I told people I never had an econ class in school, and it was only last year that I looked back and saw, hey, in fact, in 10th grade or something, I had an econ class. But it certainly was this was another reason I bought into nationalism, because I thought it was a more tolerable thing, and certainly it was that the newspapers would always report, oh, the gross national product of this nation state versus that nation state. So it was very, very much framed in us versus them. And I just sort of bought into that. Whereas when I was in D.C., I was exposed to economics. And for me, I found I had a lot of affinity for Austrian economics, which looks at the individual actor. And a lot of the concepts, like spontaneous order and creative destruction and unintended consequences, really made sense to me. And so that helped me sort of take, at the time, I was still, I would say, a minarchist. I thought a minimal defense, minimal police and courts. And so
courts, causeways, and killers.
Pretty much. Yeah. But fortunately, with continued conversations and exposure to other ideas, Bruce Benson, he's an economist in Florida, wrote a really great overview of how we got from, 500,000 years back till now for policing and its roots and how things essentially became from decentralized to centralized, and how state actors have done that. And I think, so those kind of books.
They were originally slave catchers in this country, right?
Yeah, yeah, they sure were.
There's a University of Kentucky white paper that one can look through and see the changeover from, especially in the South, slave catchers to police jobs and how that happened. Look, I'm not saying that necessarily is a damning, that in and of itself is necessarily damning, but it's kind of informative.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, yeah. And so I started to realize that, for me, I came to the conclusion that all goods and services could be better provided through consensual interactions and
this was in
free
DC
markets.
When you came to
right,
that.
Right. So, and eventually I concluded, hey, I've learned a lot in D.C., met a lot of folks, but let's live these ideas instead of just talk about them. So that's when my buddy Jason Talley, who y'all know, decided we quit our jobs, bought an RV, moved to the Shire became our home, and we use it as a home base to do a number of projects, to try to connect folks and share ideas, and that's where CopWalk was grown, and so that's kind of the story, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Motorhome Diaries, you know, we were there for that. Free Talk Live had sponsored the Motorhome Diaries and ultimately a lot of the CopWalk tours. And,
lots of great video and lots of great activism came out of that.
Absolutely. And, of course, you were in charge of Bureaucrash before you made the change there, which I only remember it because I still have the Immigrate shirt, which I wore on the way down here as I was going through the border. I thought that would be a fun one to wear. And so you founded CopBlock with Ademo Freeman,
right,
who unfortunately just recently was arrested in Ohio, allegedly with a car that had something like 20 pounds of cannabis and some hash oil in it. He's facing multiple felony counts on distribution and possession. I'm sure you've been following that situation. I know that you know, you're busy with a lot of projects these days, but every now and then you pop up with a new video or a new article for CopBlock. You're still in the game.
Yeah, I would say about 18 months ago, I shift my primary focus to the crypto world because I think it's a very practical way people can empower themselves and peacefully disassociate from these regimes. But certainly, I would, like you say, I'd weigh in from time to time, just share some content. But it was in good hands with Ademo, sort of, you know, he had a good vision and was able to loop some other folks that have been involved for a long time in key positions. And but yeah, it's very unfortunate that he's again kidnapped and caged for a victimless act. And I hope, what I've been told, I haven't communicated with him directly since he's been caged, but I've talked with a couple people who are in direct contact, and they say that he's in, like, his headspace, he's in a good space. And so to me, that's a very good sign that he's, you know, he's not sort of looking down on the situation,
right,
that he knows that he's in the right and things like that, and that goes a long way.
Well, I mean, presumably, I know he's got an attorney. Virgil Viduva has provided him with that.
Okay.
So he does have legal representation. The current situation is $75,000, I believe, is the bail amount that they're demanding.
I think it's a bond. Yeah, it's
bond.
Not, yeah.
What's the difference between bond and bail? I've never really...
I believe the bail is you can... If it's a $100,000 bail, you can pay $10,000 and get out. It's like you pay 10%, whereas the bond is the full amount. That's to my knowledge.
Okay.
So,
because I know that the bail bondsman is a private person that you can pay 10% to, and they'll pay the whole amount. So maybe that's the bail bondsman only pays a full bond, whereas if it's bail, you can pay the 10% or whatever. I know that his court document did say that 10% was not available for him.
Right.
So they want all $75,000 before he gets
and
bail.
And an ankle bracelet if he.
That's right, GPS.
Met. Yeah.
So we're going to keep up to date with that as much as we can, as always, here on Free Talk Live. And if you're just hearing us talking about, because we've talked about it before, but if you're just now hearing about it, of course, CopBlock.org has the story. Just search for Ademo Freeman, and that should come up with the video of the arrest, which was mostly audio of the arrest. And we'll just keep you informed on that. Pete, thanks for coming on Free Talk Live, as always. Good to see you, and good luck with the speech today. I'm sure you'll do great.
Thanks, guys.
Pete Ayer from CopBlock.org. And we'll continue here in moments with more from Anarchapulco, the 2017 version, brought to you by Bitcoin.com. More Free Talk Live coming up.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the run list? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. We're at Anarchapulco 2017. For the final day of what has been just a fantastic weekend full of wonderful people, great guest speakers, many of whom we've spoken to before, but it's always fun and informative and enlightening to bring them on and dig further into, you know, their situations. Unfortunately, our next speaker is not ever really a fun person to talk to. Not that I dislike talking to you, Lynn Ulbricht. You're a wonderful lady. You're a great mom, and it's wonderful having you here on Free Talk Live. You're the mother of Ross Ulbricht. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ian. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. You've been standing behind your son, who, for listeners who don't know, and we always have new people tuning in, he ran the Silk Road, created the Silk Road, the underground darknet marketplace, the very first ever of its kind that has, in my argument, changed the world for the better. It has ended some of the violence associated with the black market traditionally, has created harm reduction, helped people get their hands on the things they were going to get anyway in a safer way, that allowed more responsible, in my opinion, use and purchasing of those products. Unfortunately, the government disagrees with that assessment, and they have arrested him back in October of 2013. Now here we are in 2017. The case is still snaking its way through the court system after he was found guilty of a variety of conspiracy-related charges for basically running a website. I mean, essentially, in my opinion, a free speech crime is what he did. He coded a website and then operated that website.
He is pleading not guilty to operating it.
Is that right?
For the whole time, yeah.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that, because I know that he had, for the whole time, but in the opening statement, the attorney did say
attorney said he created it.
Right.
Yeah.
So he created
it for a time.
Ran it for a short period of time and then let go of it at some point. But they're blaming him for the whole thing.
Yeah.
They didn't let him give the defense that he wanted to give in multiple different ways, and one of them was that he couldn't even call witnesses that he wanted to call.
Correct.
He couldn't present the idea to the jury that there was someone else. That was
Absolutely.
Presented in the
opening
statement.
And now we have
proof
there was someone else.
Let's hear more about that.
Yeah.
So the proof there was somebody else, there was speculation that it might have been another person involved with MT Gox, the guy who was running that website.
Karpeles.
Yeah, Karpeles, yeah.
That was touched on during the trial, but then the judge basically wiped that off of the table.
Well, the judge did like things that looked patently illegal.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't, you know, I believe I'm much more of a sort of, you know, fair judge of this, and that lady just did illegal stuff.
Mm-hmm. So that's the appeal. But more recently, there is pretty clear proof there was another Dread Pirate Roberts or someone operating as Dread Pirate Roberts, because they did it after Ross was in jail. And
whoa, wait a minute.
Yes.
So was this late 2013 when they went back in? What happened?
No, what happened was it was post-trial, because the government dumped 6 terabytes of discovery material on the defense. That's the equivalent of 2.5 billion pages of single space type.
Didn't they dump that like a couple of days or the weekend before the trial started?
Well, that was the 3,500 material, which was another whole 10,000 pages. But this was the discovery material, which was after arrest. He had a few months, really, because by the time they didn't have the software, didn't have the laptop. I mean, there's all kinds of obstruction, but no one can go through 6 terabytes in a few months and not find the needles in a haystack. And what happened was this, several months ago, the defense kept sifting through this discovery material post-trial, post-sentencing.
Did they print it up and send it to Ross?
He has a CD of it. He
really?
Can go to a laptop.
Okay, so he can go then to a law library.
Yeah, it's a special thing. Yeah,
from an hour a day.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the schedule, but yeah.
Like 2 days a week.
Right. Yeah,
and so he has 2 hours
controlled.
A week or something like that to look at this disk of a large room full of pieces of paper.
Yes. What was discovered was an obscure file that contained some very interesting information. One was, I'll touch on the DPR one first. There's a record that someone using the DPR account logged into the Silk Road Forum on November 18th, 2013. Ross was arrested October 1st.
Right.
Almost seven
so a
weeks.
Month and a half.
Yeah.
Yep.
He did. Yeah, he was in a cage.
That was because, if I'm recalling correctly, when the FBI came in and shut down the Silk Road, the forums kept operating.
Yeah, till 4 days later, which was the 22nd of November.
And he was known as Dread Pirate Roberts on both sites.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're saying is there's evidence that someone logged into the Dread Pirate Roberts forum account while he was in jail.
Correct.
Awaiting trial.
Yeah, and the record only shows the last login.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way to know how soon and how long this entity was operating, how many of them were using that account.
Right.
It's all,
right.
You know, but
if they were federal agents.
Well, federal agents or another DPR or several DPRs.
Well, and we also, we remember reading on the air, maybe it was like a year or a summer or a few seasons before your son was arrested, before Ross was arrested, there was an interview that Forbes, I believe it was,
Andy
conducted
Greenberg
Andy
and
Greenberg.
He might have been a Forbes then, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He conducted that with someone who was Dread Pirate Roberts, and that someone said that they were not the first Dread Pirate Roberts. So you've got an interview on the record where it's claimed, at least, that there were two. Now you're saying there's more evidence that there absolutely was at least two.
There's a record.
Two. Yep.
and they weren't allowed to tell the jury that at trial about the interview. and other things.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to present evidence.
There's other
stuff, God knows,
too.
They might come to a different conclusion.
They might
have reasonable doubt. I mean, every time we talk about this case, there's so much that we can talk about.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning that one Secret Service agent and one FBI agent are serving time in prison right now for their illegal acts during this case.
Well, and even more important about them, that Secret Service agent was also, it was found out later, was working for the NSA at the time. So he did both, Sean Bridges. Mm-hmm. And they also were computer experts who had all kinds of tools and had keys to the kingdom. They could change passwords. They could commandeer accounts and operate as DPR. They could change pins. They could write chats, delete chats on both the forum and the marketplace, get into, on and on and on. So it wasn't just stealing. They had access to the material and the evidence for many, many months. And this was used at trial as if it's not tainted.
And that's really important information. Also, the state intentionally held their convictions until after Ross's convictions because God knows we wouldn't want the jury to know that there's been convictions of illegal state acts during this this trial.
And the defense knew, fought to have them referenced, and the jury was not allowed to know they existed.
Right.
It was precluded by the judge.
And this is a judge. This is a person that is supposed to be an impartial arbiter. Remember, that's the notion here, right? Like people think that judge, he's holding the prosecutor liable for their misdeeds and that sort of thing. And bull hockey. This is a political position, and this person wants to be appointed to a higher location. And the best way for them to do that is to side with the state every single time.
They sure
did. And Chuck Schumer, he recommended her. She's affiliated with Chuck Schumer, and he's behind it, so you better,
They wanted to send a message with the incredibly harsh sentence that they gave to Ross. I mean, the heroin dealers have gotten a fraction.
Biggest heroin dealer on Silk Road got 5 years.
Right, and Ross is double life plus,
40, and they never said he sold drugs.
Right.
There were some allegations about some mushrooms in the beginning,
again.
I don't know if they proved it,
they didn't charge
him. It sure would be great if he had been convicted of selling mushrooms.
That would be good.
That's it, right?
Yeah. I think he'd be out by now.
They only charged him with conspiracy to sell. They didn't charge him with actual drug sales.
Of anything. Of drugs, hacking, any of it.
Oh, and where are those murder charges, by the way?
Yeah, right.
What happened
with
that?
Funny. Well, there were no murder charges.
Right. They talked about it like there would be. They talked about it as though they
dropped that in the trial.
And based on a chat with Karl Mark Force, who is now in prison.
Yeah, right. Wild
speculation. The chat about murder of Hara. That was him. That was Karl Mark Force's evidence.
Yeah. With a person who is now in prison.
The dirty cop.
For stealing. that had the keys to create a fake chat, likely.
Totally.
That's what he wanted to do.
Yeah. He could write the whole thing.
He could have done any of those things.
Easily.
And this was considered evidence.
Well, it wasn't even charged. But they got to talk about it. And it had it up on a screen. And the jury's all looking at the screen like,
that's bad.
Oh, okay. Of course they're going to believe it.
Sure.
But there's a whole other thing about this folder, this obscure folder I want to be sure and tell you. I don't know if we have time right now.
We will definitely have time. That's coming up. So the folder with the evidence about the second Dread Pirate Roberts.
Right, but there's more.
There's more to that. We're going to come back with Lynn Ulbricht. FreeRoss.org is the website where you can go to find out how to write Ross, find out how to contribute to the legal campaign. We're coming up. Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering Amazon through our website. Go to shop.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a portion of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site at shop.freetalklive.com. That's shop.freetalklive.com.
Here's a good idea. When you have a legal matter like creating your will or legally setting up a business with a corporation or LLC, you don't necessarily need a law firm. Use LegalZoom.com. At LegalZoom.com, you answer straightforward questions online, and they take care of the rest. They even review your answers for common mistakes and guarantee your satisfaction. Free Talk Live listeners, you'll get 10% off your order by typing in FTL in the referral box at purchase. Don't procrastinate with these important legal documents. LegalZoom.com.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. We're at anarchapulco.com, bitcoin.com, or wait, did I say we're at .com? We're at the actual Anarchapulco. You can go to anarchapulco.com to learn more about the event. We're here in Acapulco, Mexico, for the day four show as we continue with some special guests, including our friend Lynn Ulbricht, who is on the program with us right now, giving us the latest and the dirtiest from the case. Normally it's the latest and greatest. It just keeps getting ickier and ickier the more you dig into this government case in the Silk Road, the case where the government has put your son, Ross, in a prison cell for life times two plus 40 years for the dastardly crime of programming and operating a website that ultimately was where some people bought and sold drugs, including some federal agents who also robbed the site of hundreds of thousands of U.S. dollars worth
over
of Bitcoin.
A million.
Yeah. And some of them got caught. Some did, but there's at least one more out there as well. And I know you want to get into the folder that came out, this more evidence of this corruption and just awfulness. But I remember he was described as a mentor to Ross. and I'm forgetting what his
Variety
name.
Jones.
That's it, Variety Jones. I knew him as plural of Mongoose. That's one of his other handles. Variety Jones, who was recently arrested, I think, what, sometime in the last year, he had come out with a long blog or long post on a forum like a couple years ago, and we read some of it on the air. I mean, it was exhaustively long, where he basically said he was given the heads up from somebody else, presumably in the FBI, someone who was not Karl Mark Force or Sean Bridges, about Karl Mark Force and Sean Bridges and, you know, various different things that were happening, given inside information from somebody who knew that information and who was trying to ultimately blackmail him, this friend of Ross's, this mentor, into handing over some sort of keys to a Silk Road wallet that this person, this cop, had access to. He was trying to extract those keys through the threat of violence against Variety Jones. And the other thing he mentioned, which was super scary, was that you were a possible target of kidnapping, Lynn, and your daughter, Ross's sister, were possible targets of kidnapping if he couldn't get the information out of Variety Jones that he was going to go after you. And the idea was that he would have a cell phone shipped into the prison where Ross, federal prison, have some guards smuggle it in, give him this cell phone showing you and your daughter being held hostage, and then asking Ross, saying, hey, if you want to see your mother again, let's have the numbers. Give me the passcode to get into this Bitcoin wallet from the Silk Road. I mean, just an absolutely shocking story. And then this guy, Variety Jones, was trying to get the federal government to arrest him so he could tell them about this.
He wrote a letter to the prosecution about it.
And then they didn't for a long time arrest him, but ultimately they have. And I haven't heard anything about that case. I doubt you have enough time to follow every little aspect of this. Have you heard anything?
Last I heard, he was fighting extradition, but I don't know. The other thing is that our Ross's lawyers wrote a letter to the prosecution saying our client's mother and sister are in danger, and you need to do something. And they said, oh, no, they're fine.
Good luck.
No problem.
Well, they don't
and
have
I'm
any
like,
obligation.
Either you know because somehow you know about this, or else you don't care.
They don't care.
I think it might have been both of those.
Their reaction was rather ho-hum yawn.
So not only do we know that that there are at least two busted, guilty, in prison corrupt cops, but there's at least one more out there that nobody knows who it is at this point. Not even Variety Jones knows who it was that was threatening him.
He did sign his initial CWT, which happens to be the same initials as
Christopher Tarball, who was one of the investigators.
It happens. I mean, whatever. That just happens to be in the post.
Sure does.
But,
so let's
there's another one. Yep. There's indication there's yet another one.
Corrupt cop.
Okay. Well, okay, you tell me. So in the same folder.
The folder that you referred to that shows that there was, what?
The DPR Pirate, login.
Right. Dread Pirate Roberts logged in after Ross Ulbricht was in jail.
Yeah. Correct. Okay, so this folder was obscure. It was off somewhere. It was labeled S. You know, nobody knew about it. It has a copy of the Silk Road Forum database that is exactly like the copies that were submitted at trial, only it has more on it. And what's more on it is a conversation between DPR and someone called Not Wonderful, who says he was an employee of the government. He proposed to DPR that he sell information about the government's investigation into Silk Road. They agreed, according to this chat. They set up an account, and there were payments made. Then that portion was wiped from the evidence that was presented at trial.
That would be illegal. Like
that
if they did
it would take high level access too.
The prosecutor, if they saw that, I mean that's in the prosecution's evidence. So one would presume that the prosecutor is therefore responsible for it. They may not have done it, but they're at least responsible for it, and that should be 10 years in prison, right?
That's interesting.
I mean, what else would it be?
Someone did it,
right? Like if there's a gun in my house. And even if I don't know it, I'm responsible for it, right? Like there's a pound of cocaine in my house. I'm pretty sure if they happen to run across it, they're not going to say, "Oh, you didn't put this in there. Well, that's fine, Mr. Edgington. Just go along your way. Everything will be just fine." You know, they're going to hold me responsible. So that prosecutor is responsible for lying for that, and is therefore subject, in my opinion, to a second-degree federal felony
by submitting evidence that was incomplete because
right.
they're.
He submitted that evidence, the evidence of that.
That's true. That's what the jury
as
saw.
As true. Right?
That's
he
true.
He submitted it as true.
And complete.
And
yeah.
he possessed evidence that showed that it was false.
It may have been true, but it wasn't complete.
Incomplete is untrue.
Well, incomplete is untrue. It's misleading, and it leaves out a whole very significant part, which indicates another agent who was at high level or who was in the government. We don't know, and was selling information, and then presumably him, wiped it. And, of course, with digital evidence, you don't know. Folder had been discovered, no one would know. And so that begs the question, how much more is there, of course? And then, Ross's lawyer said, we only know the tip of the iceberg on the corruption. Now we know more.
Yep.
And it's like digital evidence is so vulnerable to this. And here, that's what they used against Ross. Digital. It all
could have been fabricated, and we have no idea who was actually writing in those chats that they presented.
Well, this is easy, Lynn. All you have to do is go to the agency that oversees the prosecutors and the law enforcement agents in this circumstance and have them arrest the perpetrators. It's not a big deal. It's all you have to do is go to that government agency, right?
That is a big deal.
Because it doesn't exist because no one watches the Watchers, and they never have.
They're not going to arrest themselves. They're not going to arrest their own prosecutor. The only reason they arrested those other cops is because it was so blatant they had to do something about it. If they can avoid going after their own people, they absolutely will.
And the higher you are,
and they also aren't interested in getting to the bottom of it. They didn't make it contingent with the plea that they turn over the keys to their encrypted emails. So there's still a ton of encrypted emails that those corrupt cops have. That they didn't turn over. There's still sealed evidence. There's still undisclosed evidence. And they don't care. They don't want to know.
This is illegal from top to bottom. And I'd like to point out about getting the man. Yep. So the idea of getting the man here is that now we have shown all the people that will ever open in the future a sales website that they can't do that and that it's dangerous for them. Ian, how many have there been since then?
Dozens.
Yes.
Dozens.
Much bigger, too.
I mean, how many have they busted?
Zero.
Bunch. No, they've taken several down.
Down, or who's going to jail?
I haven't followed all of the prosecutions. When Silk Road 2 went down, which
and
was
by
like
the way,
a year,
that guy got 8 years.
Blake Benthal?
Oh, no. I don't know what's happened to him.
Right. Well, that's just it. The people who are running these other sites, they haven't had the same level of, I mean, God bless them, they were still doing similar work that Ross had done, but I don't know who they all are, and we're not following all those cases, unfortunately.
The guy who took over was second in command at 2.0, got eight.
Right.
Jared, somebody, I can't remember.
There were a couple guys busted, I think, in the 2.0, and of course we all know that happened because the federal agents were actually still undercover from Silk Road 1, and they were there when they formed Silk Road 2, so from day one, they had an undercover federal agent as an administrator of Silk Road 2, so it was bound to
That's a layup. That's just an ongoing investigation, really. That doesn't even count as a second situation.
That site went down, and so did other sites that were also taken down. They took down several of them in one kind of swoop. It seems like, for the most part, these sites tend to either get busted by the government or they will exit scam their customers. But over time, there have been a few other sites that have popped up and have gained more of a level of popularity. So, no, they haven't stopped this, and they're never going to stop drug dealing, and they know that. I mean,
about drugs.
Right.
And the judge made it very clear in her sentencing. It's about the philosophy of the site.
The libertarian philosophy.
Yes. She even said, it's clear you created this as a philosophy, and it's a dangerous philosophy, and I'm not sure you've given it up.
Yep.
And implying, it's dangerous, and you're going away for life, so that dangerous philosophy of voluntarianism, of libertarianism, is not unleashed on the world.
Right.
I mean,
we're the state.
Totally unconstitutional, totally antithetical to the First Amendment. The woman took an oath to uphold that. And instead, she's using it to justify a barbaric sentence.
She swore an oath to the Constitution, which protects free speech.
Let's keep going here. You got more time?
Yes.
Stick with us. All right. Lynn Ulbricht is here. This is Free Talk Live. We're at Anarchapulco, brought to you by Bitcoin.com. More Free Talk Live coming up.
Do you need a website for your blog or new business? It can be pretty intimidating on your own, and that's why Free Talk Live has partnered with HostGator, one of the top hosting companies. HostGator offers a simple, one-click, easy installation for WordPress, 24/7 over-the-phone or live chat tech support, and a very intuitive, user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation back into your hands. Go to HostGator.com/FTL, and you'll get 50% off of their regular hosting prices. 50% off. HostGator.com/FTL.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise.
nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. If you're a local advertiser, contact the station. If you can use national exposure, Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.